Today's podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, Adam Murray, we have the NBA team. This week we got, we're on the West Coast, this episode, part 5, Gone Fishing. We have the Sacramento Kings, Houston Rockets, LA Lakers, Phoenix Suns, and New Orleans Pelicans. Quick note about New Orleans, sort of came into some technical issues. The audio starts to drop out at the end and then just sort of stops abruptly, which is a shame because he just kept talking on and on and on about the Pelicans because that's what he does. And no, I did not do it on purpose. It was actual problem with the recording, so I managed to salvage what I could, but it is what it is. All right, enjoy.
Fox elevates, missed it. Bagley! He has done it all for Sacramento tonight! Kings look to run, four Bulls are back. Bagley to Giles. Get used to that, Kings fans. You're going to be seeing that for many, many, many years to come.
Adam, let's talk about the Sacramento Kings, who had a bit of a season where things seemed to look up, and then all of a sudden at the very end of the season, they kind of went through a reset.
They were a weird team because everything started to click. All their weird, questionable moves all started, you know, the weird Vlade Divac, what's he doing? It all started to work together, and it all came, you know, basically with the De'Aaron Fox pick working. If he had fallen off again this year, this team would just be terrible, but his push at speed, you have Buddy Hield and
Willie Cauley-Stein, and then Marvin Bagley as a rookie played pretty well.
Bagley played limited minutes, though, off the second unit. I'm thinking of Bogdanovich. That's who I'm thinking of. They had them kicking up to three. Everybody had a role this year, as opposed to just, who knows, whatever. But apparently things weren't as good as we thought because everybody hated Yorger. Who knew?
Well, I don't know if everybody hated Yorger. I know that the executives clashed with Yorger because the executives wanted him to play Marvin Bagley more, and he was sort of more on the side of playing Nemanja Bjelica more. So that was, I think, that was one of the
one of that, and then the players
points of contention.
The players didn't back him because I guess he rode them hard too. So if management's against you, and the players are against you, and then all of a sudden, well, let's trade for Harrison Barnes, and then the season sort of fell off because Harrison Barnes. Well, you know, you add this new big piece who's supposed to be now your new centerpiece.
What did you think of already giving up on Justin Jackson for him? Like, what if Justin Jackson winds up being pretty good in Dallas?
He wasn't very good in Sacramento.
Yeah, that's true. He averaged 6 points and 3 rebounds there in Sacramento before he went to Dallas.
Why did they trade Scalabissier for Caleb Swanigan?
That one I can't understand. Because I got a soft spot for Labissiere. I think he's actually going to be okay.
The number, was he the number one high school pick?
I mean, 3 points, 2 rebounds don't say much, but you know, you never know.
And that's one of those things go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Anyways, the one thing about Caleb Swanigan is that that's a team option. But the problem is cap room is not an issue for Sacramento this year. They're at a really comfy spot. They're at a spot where they could pick up the $25 million option on or have the player option be picked up by Harrison Barnes, and they're not even above the cap.
That they have that, and because they didn't make stupid deals. All the veterans they had, you know, Vince Carter, Randolph, and they were all two, three-year deals. They were tiny deals. It was all, you know, and the trades, yeah, they moved some pieces around, but they were just the third team facilitating it. At no point did they, like, well, we need to panic and make a playoff push. They're like, no, we're going to draft who we like and have a plan and push it that way, and with the exception of the coach, and now they got Luke Walton. I don't want to say, you know, they're a terrible team because they were exciting to watch. They play hard. They just weren't good.
They were really good offense. They were ninth in points per game. Offensive efficiency was middle of the pack. So was their field goal percentage. But just like you said, just an exciting team to watch. When they were good, they were really good. Defensively, a lot of issues. That was kind of their big problem.
Yeah, they didn't. And that's the problem with having all just young people is they didn't know what to do. And, you know, Justin Jackson, like I said, you know, the same way they swapped garbage before is, well, he's not working for us. Let's get somebody who can be perhaps a future.
Mm-hmm. What's your worry? Well, let me get this out of the way. In a world without Pascal Siakam this year, is De'Aaron Fox the most improved player of the year?
No, because you can still give that to Giannis. After all is said and done, but he's definitely first team all improved.
I'll tell you another team that a guy that would have probably rode right up there was Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield was much improved this year.
They were all because they all played within themselves.
Yeah. Hield became the guy he was at Oklahoma at a pro level. Just a spot-on three-point shooter who can just go bombs away. He can get you off the dribble a little bit with some sidesteps. And just like I said, just a really good three-point shooter off the catch.
And that's all he does. He's not going to be there for defense. He's not going to give you really anything else.
Averages 5 rebounds a game, which is pretty good for a guard. But yeah, Fox was the revelation. 17 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, over a steal and a half. Gets to the free throw line. He got to the free throw line more than Hield did.
Yeah, and then that's why you watch him play with Bagley. It's like, oh, I can see where this is going. And with Bagley sort of coming into his own, this is what do they do with Willie Cauley-Stein. It's, he's a do up for a contract. He could do it, but he doesn't seem to fit in with the team anymore.
Yeah, his qualifying offer is 4.69. I can absolutely guarantee you somebody will give him more than that on an offer sheet. But, 55% field goal percentage, 8 rebounds. You know, he gets more steals than he does blocks, which is kind of strange with that, big, long-rangey body that he's got. But, I mean, he sort of turned a corner. You could tell that, Stein was a valuable player for what Sacramento was doing. But you wonder if he's fits in the long run, or if maybe they can just move Bagley over there to take that spot and it would be a seamless transition.
Well, the thing is, you have Bagley, you have Barnes, and the league is getting smaller, and they don't have a first-round pick this year. But
they have cap room.
They do have cap room, so they could take anybody who they might want.
One you brought up was Nikola Vucevic. Do you think that's legitimately possible?
If they have the cap room for him, so I don't see why they wouldn't. If they're going to try to be like, this is our year to make a splash, imagine if they got him. That would
be the move, regardless of Luke Walton being the coach or whoever. That would be the move to put him over the top. That would turn him into a playoff
because
team.
Because you see, once in a while you see players and teams like, that would be a perfect fit for the way they play. And it's just like, mm-hmm. Wow, I don't know why they haven't done that. And, it's just...
Even like, what about JaVale McGee? Somebody like that.
But JaVale McGee, he doesn't offer anything on offense, though.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be your stalwart, so if you're going to do him, why not just get any other 7-foot guy who doesn't really do anything else?
Yeah, well, Enes Kanter's the opposite. He can only score. So you almost have to pick your losses. The free agents for Sacramento, other than the restricted free agency for Cauley-Stein, are kind of minimal. The only thing that's significant there is Kostas Koufos, because Koufos was part of that signing. He was one of the signings where they were trying to clear cap space back in 2015, I want to say, and that was when they made that trade, that awful trade where they gave up. Three first rounders in a row, which included swap rights in order to make cap room with the Philadelphia 76ers. That deal has come to pass, I believe. But yeah, I've always found that pretty interesting.
Yeah, but again, as I always mentioned, that was the old CBA, and that kind of screwed them. It wasn't their fault because they had to get out of. Oh, then he had a couple bad contracts, and that was the only way to do it, is to offer multiple picks. And then it was like, oh, well, here's a ton of cap room for everybody. Why even bother now?
Do you think that it was weird a Dave Joerger coach team was first in fast break points?
No, because he was the way Memphis plays, Memphis had no way of possibly keeping up with anything fast-paced.
They were always one of the slowest teams in the league. Always, yeah.
So he was able to play to that strength. It's just... I'm not surprised by it, is what I'm saying.
Outside of that, you know, the cap space, like I said, is kind of interesting. Bogdan Bogdanovic has been, I wouldn't say a revelation, but a pretty good player at the guard spot. I wouldn't call him essential to the team's success. Would you go that far?
Yes.
Oh, you believe he is?
But I also said that from the get-go. So, yeah. So what's your hashtag for them?
For this hashtag, I don't know. I'll just defer to you on this one. What you got?
I just said they're Mr. Brightside because everything's looking up for them right now.
Do you think Luke Walton was the right move, or do you think that was sort of a knee-jerk decision by Divac?
They got who they wanted, so yeah. Regardless of what he's shown to anybody else.
That might be my hashtag, goodbye, hello. It was just very weird how they just completely turned on Jorger just in the blink of an eye in the month of April, and all of a sudden here comes Walton to quote-unquote save the day, but let's see how it really plays out.
Because you've been on the other side of that, so you got to look at both ways.
Well, if you don't like it, stop it.
Austin Rivers gives the Houston Rockets 27 threes, a new NBA record.
Adam, the James Harden era is going to continue, but there's going to be rumblings of many of changes galore for the Houston Rockets. First of all, how do you feel on the MVP standard with James Harden? He's the defending MVP. There's a likelihood he'll probably lose that title to Giannis Antetokounmpo, but how do you feel? He averaged 36 points, 7 assists, over 2 steals, almost 10 free throws made per game. I mean, and offensively, I've said it before, he's like the guard version of Wilt Chamberlain. He puts on offensive neighbors.
Everything goes to him. But the thing about Harden is he's not fun to watch.
I agree with that. It's a lot of step back, a lot of like hurling the ball up for calls.
Like, if that's the new, like, you know, the new NBA is smaller. Everybody shoots threes. Like, you watch him, it's like, oh man, he's scoring all these things. You watch him, it's like, I don't want to tune into this.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't do it for me. But Houston, I think, really fell apart this year. Not because of the Melo trade, not because
of... Yeah, well, Melo fell apart for them. He just didn't work.
It was letting Trevor Ariza go.
Okay.
You know, and that left a big hole in the small forward that they couldn't replace.
Yeah, where they just ran as many guys as they could, from like Kenneth Faried to Daniel House to Gerald Green. And, you know, they did have P.J. Tucker, who was an incredibly consistent player. He started all 82 games for them. And even at $8 million a year, I would say P.J. Tucker is a valuable player. I think he plays up to his value.
Agreed, he overachieved, but just losing him and Mamba Mute, it created this hole they couldn't get through, and Harden just was Harden, so you know he's going to be who he is. Chris Paul fell apart at the end of the season like we knew he would.
Paul had injury issues also to start the season, which has become normal for him.
They got as far as they could, and they got, you know, wiped around the second round, but this is basically my notes are going to start and stop here. This team, you know... We didn't think, you know, Morey could trade for Chris Paul. Oh, there he goes. He got that. Didn't think he could trade for Melo. Oh, wow, he managed to do that. So I'm not going to say anything because this team is probably going to be, not could be, but probably will be radically different next year.
Well, even if you can't move the starting lineup, which is Harden, Paul, Capella, Eric Gordon, and PJ Tucker, like Clint Capella is a guy that probably teams would crave to get, even at $16 million a year, but I don't really think the Rockets are in – even though the report says they'll trade anyone but Harden, I don't think they would trade Capella. But if you look at the bench level, everybody's a free agent of some sort. Faried, Gerald Green, Austin Rivers, Iman Shumpert was a rental. The only guy that they're probably going to have still in the fold is Gary Clark, who they were able to pick up as like a undrafted rookie. Nene is another guy that I think is sort of wasting space for them because of Harden's contract and then Chris Paul's contract, which is slowly looking like one of the worst contracts in the NBA soon. They're right at the tax too. They're about $123 million spent. So there's really not a lot of room unless you do make a trade. And that's why you're hearing these rumblings from from the Rockets that Daryl Morey might be trying to move Paul. Good luck with that.
But you never know. You always want to write them off.
I don't think anyone's going to take. I don't know anyone's going to take a $40 million salary at him. I don't see it. That's a supermax contract.
You never. I mean, in this NBA, we never thought Mozgov would be traded like three times. Biombo and his contract would be traded. I mean, Omar Asik got traded.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my hashtag for them is can you hear me now? Because
yes.
He's going to be on the phones a long time, and this is basically the Rockets were who they thought we thought they'd be. We sort of pegged them correctly, and off season's just going to be, you know what? We're not going to clean your locker out, but we have a lot of boxes over there in the corner just in case. So,
offensively, just an excellent team. Obviously, any team with Harden's going to take a lot of threes, especially with Mike D'Antoni coaching them. They just mid range is just not an option for them. Defensively, solid, but they were 28th in rebounding. They have got to get another big man in there, either through the draft, which I don't think they can do, or in free agency. But in order to do that, I think you got to ship out Nene. You got to find a way to wiggle some room so that you could get another big man. Even a guy like Ian Mahimi, like say you make a deal and you get rid of Eric Gordon. Well, you could try to pick up Ian Mahimi's deal, you know, and something like that.
They could get anybody. Who knows?
Yeah.
I would say I'm not, you know, I'd be surprised, I guess, but you can't be anymore.
What would you say is their biggest need? Like, if you just cleared out everything but the shooting guard spot for Harden, what is the biggest need for the Rockets?
A move to Nova Scotia where you can't be any more Eastern than them?
I would say a big man and a very good wing off the bench. That is an absolute need.
Two and a half into the fourth quarter. Taken by Caldwell Pope.
Wow, he smothered Cephalosha when he picked up the dribble.
LeBron poised.
I see, that's where JaVale should have slip screened and just run to the front of the rim.
Oh, he goes the other way. Slam dunk, LeBron James.
Okay, the LA Lakers. We're in Hollywood. LeBron James is there now. He's played a full season. A little bit of a mess, to say the least, with LA. It looked like things seemed to be coming around, right around like maybe December, and then LeBron went down with like a hamstring issue. They absolutely stunk without him for a month. Alonzo Ball got hurt. Brandon Ingram got shut down due to a blood clot issue. And the team finished 37-45 with no hope of making the playoffs, probably with like 3 or 4 weeks to go in the season. Just an absolute what-the-fuck type of mess.
It was what we expected. This was the Showtime Lakers. However, it went from 80s Hollywood blockbuster to just now cheese fest. And
yeah, they were fourth in pace, so that's a good point. They were very fast.
They were, but you know, Coach LeBron shot all his players in the foot I'll trade all y'all. I don't care. I just need me. And then he got hurt. You know, he orchestrated the trade for, you know, the public demand for Davis.
Anthony Davis. Yeah, that was a Rich Paul deal. And
yeah,
so
he publicly, you know, he publicly said, I don't like Luke Walton. I want my buddies in here. And we knew from the get-go, getting these one-year deals for Rondo and Stevenson and McGee and all these players that don't fit LeBron's style is a bad idea. But we're like, oh, they'll be trade fodder. And the best person they could trade for was Muscala.
Yeah, Mike Muscala and Reggie Bullock. That was who they got.
Neither of which are going to stay. So
because they're unrestricted, yeah.
The going in, you know, it's just I think we could just sort of skip right over this. They want to just erase this year from memory. Because
this is one where I think even Magic Johnson, who. Did he resign, but did he come back, or was he invited to come back, or is it officially done between him and Rob Pelinka?
No, he officially resigned very publicly and, you know,
right before their last game of the season. Very, very strange.
He's like when when a kid talks to you trying to tell you how he did nothing wrong, and his stories are just like, You realize you can't do that, right?
Yeah.
But they were all, and I was just wanting to, like, no, you're not coming off good in this at all.
No.
You're just, you know.
And then Rob Pelinka making up stories about Kobe Bryant. You know, we're in an era where if you say anything that even seems somewhat historically inaccurate, people are going to call you out. You know,
oh, what do you mean? You're a shady agent? So, no way. But the Lakers, we can't comment on them because we know this team, they're wanting to get rid of all of them. You could say, oh man, I like Lonzo Ball. I like Kuzma. I like Ingram. Who knows if any of them will still be on this team next year?
Well, Brandon Ingram's blood clot that they discovered, I think, in his leg at the end of the season. Like, are you worried about that? He averaged 18 points and 5 rebounds. He was a bright spot for them.
No, that was just we need more ping pong balls.
Okay, which worked to a degree. It got scary when they looked like they were in the top five or top four, because people just immediately thought, oh my God, the Lakers are going to get Zion, but they actually wound up with number four. So they got a little bit better position because they can swing a deal with Ingram, with Kyle Kuzma, if they need to try to get a superstar, because you know that's going to be LeBron, you know, GM LeBron's point of view, you know, to get a superstar, you know.
Oh, of course. So that's why you could say, you know, hey, Ball, great court vision, great assist, can't shoot for anything. It's just like Rondo was. Ingram, mm-hmm. still slow on his release. Kuzma scores in buckets, doesn't play defense. Avika Zubac, oh, they got rid of him for no reason.
Yeah, and now he's turning heads with the Clippers. So
yeah,
good job with that. They dumped Michael Beasley. Lance Stephenson, I actually would keep. I thought he was actually fairly valuable for them. Another one they wound up playing late in the season who I think might be able to hit their rotation is Alex Caruso.
But he's nothing special.
No. How did you feel about LeBron as a player?
He got injured.
I mean, did you feel like he was in late prime, early twilight?
He looked checked out halfway through it. Like, he wasn't – like, you saw in Cleveland, like, he would – drag their corpses, mm-hmm. up and down the court. He was just like, yeah, I know. It's the faster pace,
his offensive numbers were about the same as when he was in Cleveland. You know, 27 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. But defensively, definitely not the same player. I that's the one part I would say has eroded first when it comes to LeBron. Sometimes it's, you know, for some players, it's their shooting, their athleticism most of the time. For LeBron, I think his defensive prowess has definitely taken a slight downturn. It might have had to do with the fact that they weren't in playoff atmospheric type of games, but I did feel like LeBron took a lot of games off.
Well, I think he was more injured than he let on. It wasn't just a quick thing, and he might have come back too soon.
Are you saying that that basketball organizations lie about the injuries to superstars? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Well, LeBron wants to be on the court. He doesn't want to sit. He's never.
I am absolutely shocked. The Golden State Warriors are absolutely shocked that you said that, and they're going to reprimand you for saying that.
Tampering.
I still think they're in the game. You know, with $62 million in projected cap, you got some space here to make something happen. You know, they thought they could get Boogie Cousins. It didn't happen. They got JaVale McGee, who was a really good rebounder and shot blocker, but you know, he was an unrestricted, just like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Rondo, who you mentioned, Reggie Bullock, Stevenson.
We can wrap them up with a simple, they have the money to get whoever they want. The question is,
Who wants to go there?
That's the question.
That's the biggest question. Like, who wants to go there? Is Kuzma going to be part of the package? Can they wait for Anthony Davis until he's a free agent? Which is because now it's become a game of, like, can the Lakers be legitimate by the time Anthony Davis is a free agent so that they can convince him to play in the long run with LeBron James? And if it's not Davis, is it Klay Thompson? You know, Michael Thompson is a broadcast. His father is a broadcaster for the Lakers. So there's always been that theory that Klay would go back to L.A. So, you know, there's always a lot of Tinseltown going on with the Lakers, obviously, but definitely a season to forget.
Hey.
Okay, that's it. So,
no, it's not.
Why?
Because it's the series finale of DC Post-Crisis Management.
Oh.
And Russell Sellers and Todd Weber take a look at Heroes in Crisis and complete Russell's journey.
You said that so tantalizingly. I'm sure they're going to appreciate that. Well, Post-Crisis, is that like a comic book event?
I don't know, but
It sounds interesting. You made it sound more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about Russell and Todd then announce the debut of a new podcast, DC for You?
Oh,
in the first episode of this weekly show, the guys kick off celebrating the anniversary of Batman and Batman 89.
Yes, because whenever I think of enormous successes in the last 5 years, I think of Batman.
Well, they finally got out of the 70s, weren't they?
Well,
they just
casted, I don't know if they're going to talk about it on their show, but they just casted Robert Pattinson. He's going to be the Batman.
Yes, he'll be the Batman.
Yes.
The Hard Traveling Fanboys wrap up Avengers Month with a farewell to the Hard Travelers for Hire series in the Giant Side Edition, complete with an all-star panel and comprehensive ranking of the MCU movies.
Wait, the Hard Traveling Fanboys are finishing up? It's over?
The Travelers for Hire series.
Oh, okay. I thought I was going to have to call Greg and see if he was actually finishing his show up. I was like, oh no.
No, they'll have some other stupid stuff to talk about.
We did a thing for their 100th episode. They didn't do one for ours. Remember that?
Because we hit 100 before even that. What? Like, we're in the 180s now. Yeah. We're high up there, but we hit 100.
Yeah,
before
we're like Sonny and Waldorf now. We're just talking just to talk. So
we're just the old guys at the end of the bench. Just yeah, they're still on the team. We don't know how, but. in this 28th episode, yeah, let's, you know, talk to us when you're in the 180th episode like us.
Yes, when we're actually totally grizzled. It's just, it's so weird. We, you know, the only thing that's weird is that we literally started the show right when the Warriors got good, when they hired Steve Kerr. Now we're in a point where Lord knows with the Warriors, so it's kind of interesting. We might have a little bit of a paradigm shift, as they call it.
Well, in this episode of Songs with Friends, Steve and Kelly feature Bob Seger's Night Moves and Third Eye Blind's Semi-Charmed Life.
Third Eye Blind's a good band. You know that lead singer dated Charlize Theron for like a really long time?
No, I did not.
But now you do.
And the second episode of the PTBN E-Ticket Attraction finds host Jason Sherman and guests Andy Atherton, Neil Trauma, and Chad Campbell talking everything Epcot.
I actually just got from Epcot.
Thoughts?
That's the Disney World where you can get drunk and have fun. It's not really for kids. It's Disney World for adults. You know,
did you get drunk and have fun?
Yeah, you got the other areas. The one funny part was when we were walking through Canada, they had a French band, and she's like, "Why are they doing French music in Canada?" I'm like, "Well, Quebec's there." and so there's some funny stuff. Soarin' was like an awesome ride. I loved it. It's like a projection. It's almost like the one that you do at Pandora at the Animal Kingdom, where it's like a projection type of ride. And I'm trying to think of all the other things that happened at Epcot. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I did one of those Tomorrowland things. It was cool. It doesn't change the fact that Tomorrowland was like a god awful movie. That's what I kept thinking while I was in Epcot. I was like, yep.
But now you could say you traveled the world because you went to all these different countries.
Well, you can't get me on a plane. I went as far as France and then I tapped out. I was like, they're like, where's the Eiffel Tower? I'm like, I don't care. Let's go home. But yes, a lot of people get drunk at night at Epcot. That I did learn.
But not you.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. They got me one of those little daiquiri things at the French area, but I'm like, I'm gonna have to finish this here and just slam it because I am not walking around with this like pina colada looking thing. People are gonna laugh at me. So it was, but Epcot was fun. There's things for kids to do. There's some really neat stores. The one I liked most was Hollywood Studios. That's the one with the Toy Story Land that they just opened up and Star Tours and all that stuff. They actually are opening Galaxy's Edge in August. So that was the cool one.
And be sure to keep an eye on the social media feeds as the reboot of the Greatest Song of the 80s tournament starts soon.
Oh, Greatest Song of the 80s, Danger Zone, and everything else. Am I right or wrong?
Danger Zone that song is personally banned from my car.
Okay, anything Michael Jackson? Like, what would be on the Adam Murray 80s song, like, playlist, the Spotify playlist?
No, Danger Zone was playing, and I was driving through Vermont. Me and my friends were going up to Montreal,
mm-hmm.
and then we're going down a hill, so I wasn't watching my speed. All of a sudden, a cop comes by. He's like, "Yo, you're going 90 in a 65. I'm like, "Ah, crap!" And Danger Zone was playing, so I'm like, "You know what? This song is banned."
No,
it was my own fault, but
80s and 90s is my wheelhouse. So I mean, like, obviously the obvious ones that you could think of from the 80s, that, you know, like Richard Marx, Bryan Adams. I like that soft rock, Roxette, George Michael.
The 80s, you just have to go with the Rocky theme.
Well, yeah, and
Eye of the Tiger has to be
Survivor. Yeah, that's that
Survivor, Eye of the Tiger.
Cyndi Lauper has a couple slammers in there. And then you got your, like, Living Color and Poison, Motley Crue's got some hits, Guns N' Roses. You know, it's got a little bit of a wide variety. The soft rock is very soft, but I think that, you know, the Megadeths of the world, the Guns N' Roses, you got some pretty, like, nice head.
Well, that's the thing. Is, are they going to do that? Are you going to have soft rock against soft rock? Or are you going to put Faith No More, Epic against Air Supply all out of luck?
I'm almost sure Epic was in the 90s. I'm almost sure of it.
Is that 92?
Yeah, that's what, but we're doing an 80s countdown. We're not.
I was thinking of We Care a Lot, Faith No More, which was far less popular.
Which is like, and then the Eurythmics, which was like Sweet Dreams Are Made of These. That's going to be up there really high. Michael Jackson's going to be up there multiple times, because he was like owning the Billboard charts forever.
Yeah, but do you put Michael Jackson back up there now?
Stop that! Yes, of course. That's like when Scientology made Tom Cruise crazy, and people are like, well, is Tom Cruise a bad – can we watch his movies? Yes, I can watch his movies. I mean, I'm not being controversial, am I?
So keep an eye on Place to Be Nation. Download our stuff.
You got me all riled up for the 80s stuff. I'm like really game for it now.
Nate Alley-oop to Aiden, he throws it down. Boy, you see the youth and athleticism.
Adam, the Phoenix Suns, another downtrodden, terrible season. But now with the flattening out of the lottery odds, it sort of went against them this time. They have a new head coach in Monty Williams, Igor Kokoskov, who was the first foreign-born head coach in NBA history. 1 year, gone. Now you go with Monty. What do you feel about this team? It feels like they're just snake bit to the ground, but Ryan McDonough is out of the picture.
That's the only good news, is McDonough is gone because you draft Josh Jacks. Well, for one, let's get Bender and Marquise Chris, two lottery picks. But they're the same position. Oh, no, we can figure it out. Let's get Josh Jacks number four. Okay, let's draft Bridges number 10. Huh? Okay, let's sign Trevor Ariza as well for $10 million. And oh, let's trade for Kelly Oubre. Huh? Who's your starting point guard?
Huh? You know, they got Kelly Oubre in the Trevor Ariza deal, where they had a 1 year. It was basically they were giving a 1 year deal to Trevor Ariza because Ariza wanted to get paid, but they knew it was a tradable contract because it was only a 1 year contract. But if you're going to trade him, try to get something for a different position that you could improve on. DeAndre Ayton played really well as a rookie, but you needed another backup big man. The other big man they had was Rashawn Holmes.
It was Tyson Chandler, and then Coach LeBron called up and said, hey, you should cut him.
James Jones, the new GM, bought him out. You know.
Didn't bother trying to trade him, just said, okay, you could go to the Lakers. We don't care. And that's the problem, is just they didn't have a plan. The GMing was just terrible, and if your upstairs is terrible, your downstairs is going to be equally worse.
It showed with their dead cap. You know, they had Austin Rivers that they just basically bought out, Tyson Chandler you mentioned, Darrell Arthur, Wayne Ellington, who wound up playing fairly well for I think the Pistons at the end of the season. Just a lot of real what the hell type of moves. Bringing in Tyler Johnson just to get rid of Ryan Anderson's contract. Why they took Ryan Anderson in the first place, I still can't understand. But yeah, too many wings. TJ Warren is sort of kind of cinched himself into the fabric of that team, but they're not the cornerstones of the team. They do have a star. Devin Booker is a star.
He is, but he's not anything.
I'll go out of my way. He might be the best. Non-James Harden, he's the best scorer in the NBA.
But what else does he do?
Outside of scoring, he averaged 7 assists a game.
Because he was a de facto point guard. Mm-hmm. What does he do on defense?
Defensively, he's bad. He doesn't move his feet, yeah. So, but he's a guy that if you need 50 points, he'll get you 50 points. He'll get you 60. If he's feeling good, you know.
Yeah, he'll get you 60, but nobody else is because they're all small forwards. And it's, you know, when they had that unexpected run and they had those three, you know, here we got Dragic and Thomas and Who was the third one? Kentucky guard.
They had Goran Dragic,
Knight,
Isaiah Thomas, Brandon Knight. Yes.
And then, well, we have 3 point guards. What are we doing? And they get rid of all three of them. Like, the GMing just has no clue of how to do anything.
That was the beginning of the end of the Suns when they moved all those guys. That was
They panicked. They said we could make a run, and they too are. And then LaMarcus Aldridge sweepstakes, and the GM is gone. By default, you can't get any lower than they are. So
yeah,
that's the only bright side is you're in Phoenix. You have good weather. Nobody notices a bad team.
What did you think of DeAndre Ayton? 16 points, 10 rebounds, just about a block and a steal per game.
It doesn't matter if they're just stats on a bad team.
Yeah, but he was like a traditional center, which is what I like. I like a low post, strong center.
Yeah, he's a traditional center who's playing garbage time minutes in the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
but you can grow with him. Man, if they got that one pick and they got Zion or if they got R.J. Barrett, now we're talking. Now we're talking about a team that could be dangerous.
So, they get R.J. Barrett, another small forward.
Well, then you can trade Josh Jackson. I think Jackson's going to be on the market anyway. I think they're giving up on him. I think they like Mikal Bridges based off the minutes played. But then again, that was Kokoskov. Let's see what Monty Williams wants to do.
Exactly, but they need stability in the front office for the players to do anything.
Okay.
A lot of one-on-one. AD between his legs, all the way to the cup. Don't try that at home.
Pull you out by shooting the three, and here's AD's between the leg with the left hand. Oh, no. Yeah. That's pretty special.
The New Orleans Pelicans, they might be saying goodbye to Anthony Davis, but they're probably saying hello to Zion Williamson, Adam Murray. This seems like we're in the midst of starting a new era with New Orleans, but we have to get rid of the old era, and things are getting kind of awkward.
Well, you know, media notwithstanding, and their blatant attempts to destroy the NBA by, well, Zion should go to New York because we want to see him there because we're all based in New York. Well, in that case, no small market team could ever have any good player, and nobody should ever want to play for Milwaukee or Oklahoma City or New Orleans or anything. But you know, you have your Zion now, and, you know, with Anthony Davis, they shouldn't be faulted for the previous regime having all bad people. There's new people coming in, so we should give them a new opportunity to clean house and do things right.
Just to give people a clean context, the New Orleans Pelicans, after having a 33-49 losing season and missing the playoffs with the incredibly disgruntled Anthony Davis, whose agent started asking for a trade like midway through the season, they won the draft lottery. So let's just be devil's advocate here. Do you think there's even a slight chance that they'll take anyone but Zion Williamson?
No, there's zero chance.
Okay, so Zion's the man. So what are the chances now? Like, give me a percentage that Anthony Davis and Zion Williamson will play on the same team.
50?
50-50? I would probably say 25.
If he doesn't get traded on draft day or, you know, the week after, they're going to keep the deadline.
I could see this stewing all the way to August. I really can. I can see one of these things where they want to wait for the rookie contracts to all be signed up, and then they'll make the deal.
No, it's not going to happen because some of my other teams are waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Because, it'll have to be done almost immediately because a lot of it involves draft picks. So if the Celtics are the team, they're going to offer up their draft picks for this year. If the Lakers, the fourth pick will be, you know, up for grabs. So the Lakers aren't going to be like, well, we're going to take so-and-so. And it's like, well, we don't want that kid you just took. So, you know, we're stuck with another, you know, whomever.
Yeah. Anthony Davis still, even though he only played 56 games, probably from his own volition, averaged 26 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, 1.6 steals, 2.4 blocks, 51% field goal percentage. The thing that's funny about the Pelicans is that they started out pretty hot, like at the very, very beginning of the season, like starting 4-0, I want to say. And then it was just one of those things where they just very quickly devolved into just a mediocre team. Julius Randle had a really good year. Jrue Holiday seems to be the leader of the team going forward if Davis is gone. But after that, it was pretty rough. You know, Etuan Moore was one of your only dependable guards. Elfrid Payton, I don't think the Elfrid Payton experiment worked that great.
He worked good because he was a backup, and very little was expected for him.
But he started. He started sometimes.
Yeah, because your roster was so bad, that's what they were reduced to. If you're having Etuan Moore, who's a fairly solid backup shooting guard,
he should be a six man.
That's not a good sign. Mm-hmm. If you have Elfrid Payton starting, well, that's because your team is just terrible.
We still have this problem with the small forward that we never ever figured out. Even when we drafted Anthony Davis, we never found a good wing, and that's still been haunting us. You know, they take flyers on all these freaking jobbers like Stanley Johnson and Darius Miller. I mean, we need to Kendrick Williams. Like, we need to find one who's a real stud. Now, Zion Williamson 6'6", but he's a big man.
Yep, and that's sort of the problem, is they shouldn't be blamed for previous regime's failures of being unable to get a wing and whatnot. Now you have a chance to do it. The only question I have is, why does everybody hate Nshik Diallo down there?
Well, he averages 6 points and 5 rebounds, and he has 62 field goal percentage.
His 36 numbers are good. He only plays 18 minutes a game, but he fills up the stat line. I just don't understand why.
Because he's not Anthony Davis. And regardless of his attitude, Davis's attitude, it still can't justify trying to replace Davis. So you have a guy like Nshik Diallo trying to play Davis's minutes while Davis is sitting there healthy on the sidelines. It's just a very depressing situation. So the projected cap, if Randle opts in, he's at $9 million. Do you think he will?
He's not. There's 0.0% chance.
If he opts out, then that'll put him around. This is actually crazy because they'll probably be under the cap for the first time in a good while. They'll be somewhere in the range of about the high 80s. So they got a little bit of room there.
Which is not good for a terrible team.
No, but the only problem was they were a terrible team when they drafted Davis, and they renamed them the Pelicans, and they way overshot with signing Tyreke Evans and Eric Gordon and bringing in Omer Asik. Like, they really went for it.
Don't forget Solomon Hill.
Yeah, I mean, that was another.
They still can't get rid of.
Yeah, that's the one at $12.7 million that it's just simmering on the boards. Like, Etuan Moore at $8 million, that doesn't hurt my feelings. You know, Jrue Holiday, did he get overpaid? Maybe. But he's still a really good guard. He was either first team or second team all defense. Now, what if they make a deal with the Celtics? Let's just start talking pie in the sky. And they get Marcus Smart. Now you got a Smart Holiday backcourt. How good is that defensively?
How anemic is that offensively?
Well, Jrue Holiday can score. He averages 21 points a game.
And Marcus Smart will average 3 points a game.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlacementNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlacementNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlacementNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.